Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests include QAnon experts, investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you so much for your energy exchange today. We hope you woke to the most miracle morning and are having the most fortunate day today also. So as you can see, we have our good friend here, Sean, and he's going to be going over the Q Corner and what's updating us, on what's going on the Q boards. And also we're going to discuss what happened on the debate a little bit yesterday, too. So we'll rattle around that, too. Q Corner with Sean Morgan. He's an expert in all things QAnon, independent journalist and author of QAnon for Beginners, and you can find Sean at QAnonFAQ.com, which we'll have his links on the show for you and also his channel, so you can check out his content that he has out there. So, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Hello.
What's going on, brother?
Oh, you know, just another day in the Great Awakening.
That's right. All right. So, listen, we've talked about this on multiple shows before, you know, the art of the deal, you know, the art of the close, you know, the strategies and everything like that. Was there a strategy that you saw in play yesterday in that particular debate? And I ask that because I think there's a lot of people that don't know what to think, you know,
as far
as what happened. And so I'd like to get your thoughts on that as far as, you know, how you think that played out, and then we can go from there.
Sure. Well, let's back up a little bit to before the debate, where the President Trump was trying to get an agreement from Biden's team that he would agree to be inspected for an earpiece or any
electronics. Yes, yes.
And at first they agreed, but then they backed out on that.
How is that even allowed?
I know. I don't know how that's allowed, but there was footage of a wire coming out of Biden's shirt during he stuck his hand in his
I saw blazer, and he did like a little scratch. I thought it was a scratch.
There was a little wire that came down, and there are tons of Anons who pointed it out on Twitter. So we have proof, physical proof, that he was using an electronic device. Now, why would he do that? Well, let's also talk about the fact that Donald Trump wanted Team Biden to agree to a drug test. So, but they would not agree to a drug test either. So basically, Team Biden apparently is, because they won't agree to a drug test, that means he's on drugs. And because they won't agree to the electronic piece, that means they're using an electronic piece to feed him information and coaching him the entire time during the debates.
Right. Stay calm, breathe.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think it's even more than that. I think they're giving him word for word.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
There were some times when he would face the camera and speak directly to
the audience.
People.
Yeah. Speak to the audience.
I thought,
right.
Oh, that's exactly, if I was his coach, what I would tell him to do at this exact moment. Mm-hmm. And so Joe Biden ended up performing way better than I assumed he would, because usually when you put him in front of a camera, you know, he says stupid things, he rambles on, he stutters a lot, but he performed cognitively way better than I thought he would. Of course, he lied a lot. He didn't have a lot of comebacks to when you know, President Trump said something like, well, your son got $3.5 million from Moscow. And he's just like, no, that's not true. That's the best he's got, is to just say, no, it's all a lie. Everything you say is a complete lie. So in that sense, he didn't have, you know, the best comebacks. But basically the strategy I saw from Trump was attack
Can I
mode.
Ask one question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why do you think then President Trump didn't say something like, well, you know, before the whole thing, we had requested that the Biden camp be examined for wires and they denied it?
Right. I guess he was trying to stick to the issues and he didn't want to seem like a whiny person. You know, he wants to seem like a winner. He wants to seem like the alpha male, and the alpha male's not, well, you wouldn't do what I wanted you to. So
it's so true.
So perhaps that was the strategy.
So do you think it's not so much that Trump was off par? It was more that Joe Biden was more on par. Right?
Trump was exactly how I expected him to be, which is he's Trump. Aggressive. Okay. Yeah. He's everything that, that he says and everything he does has one purpose. It's to beat down the opponent, Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. So he's personal. It's very personal for Trump. He goes after the opponent and he's relentless. And so that involves interruptions. That involves always addressing the lies and things that Joe Biden says that aren't true. And the goal, supposedly, perhaps, was to make Joe Biden crack, because Joe Biden probably has dementia. Dementia patients can get belligerent when they're feeling, you know, well, they can become belligerent for no reason. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was the strategy. Just keep attacking Joe until Joe loses his shit.
Right.
That was what
cracks.
I think.
Yeah.
But before Joe could lose his shit, the moderator stepped in and started, you know, defending him. In fact, the moderator was actually debating with President Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen that before in a debate. I've never seen the moderator start arguing with the.
And then Trump even said, he goes, "It looks like I'm debating you now." You know what I mean?
Yeah, he said it right from the beginning.
He said it right from the beginning. It looks like I'm going to be debating you. So that was pretty obvious. Yeah. I think a lot of people picked up
on it. It was like Joe Biden had every possible advantage he could have. He had an electronic device in coaching. He had probably had all of the questions in advance. He had a moderator that was on his side, and he had a moderator that stepped in and defended him, and he had a moderator that actually debated on his behalf. So, you know, I think in the end, it was a learning experience of how to go against Biden in the second debate.
You think there's going to be one, Sean?
I don't know. It's really hard to say. I didn't really know if Biden's team would go in for this debate. I was kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm. So was I.
Yeah. So I think what Donald Trump needs to do the next time around is he needs to take a few clues on that a debate is not just a boxing match, mm-hmm. even though that's his strength, even though that could actually work against Joe Biden, making him lose his shit. I think that he needs to turn to the camera and speak to the American people, show a little bit more compassion, talk a little bit more to, like, for example, there were two questions about the Black community and Trump never spoke to the Black community because he has lots of things to say to the Black community. He had a whole big proposal. He has a whole platform about how he wants to revitalize inner cities, empower Black churches, and all kinds of great things he wants to do for the Black community, but he never mentioned any of them because he was trying to focus on his strength, which is that he is the law and order candidate. Mm-hmm. You know, that he is the one who is going to stop all the rioting and put an end to all of the chaos. So that's what he was trying to focus on. And when he was trying to focus on that, he lost the opportunity to speak directly, especially to the Black community.
Mm-hmm. You think he should have let...
On a scale from 1 to 10, how do you think Trump did?
I don't know, an 8. I mean, that's how I think he spoke well. He said the right things most of the time. I just think that his strategy of attacking Joe and making him crack didn't work.
Exactly. And I thought it would, I honestly, because he came out like a bulldozer, right? You know, like a bull right out of the gates.
Bulldog, bulldozer. That's exactly his style.
Yep. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to last about 5 minutes.
It ended up making Joe Biden look like the calm, collected, compassionate, and the one who was speaking, using the debate stage not as an attack place, but as a place to speak to the American people. And this happened, the same thing happened with Obama versus McCain. McCain was the aggressor. McCain was emotional. And Obama was just the cool, calm, collected professor. And that really worked to his advantage. So I think we'll see that Trump pivots, or perhaps he'll double down on his strategy and really try to make Joe Biden break. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens the second time around. But can I tell you what QAnon had to say?
Yeah, please do.
That was my next question.
Well, QAnon posted some things before the debates. And he said back in September 10th, he said, Biden camp will find excuse or reason to terminate the debate, or they will be provided the questions ahead of time, or they'll be provided the questions ahead of time and assistance in the form of a special communication device. And then Q said on September 29th, the day was that the day of the debates before the debates, he said, it's going to be option number three, where Biden camp gets all the questions ahead of time and assistance in the form of a special communication device. And he even has a picture of Biden's communication device. It's a flesh colored earpiece. So Q is really on the money when it comes to these things. It's,
oh my God.
It's like, that's why we use Q as a as an intel source, because he's always right.
Sean, I gotta tell you this. I don't know if you got it, but hold on a minute. I gotta get my
While she's doing that, Sean, do you think that so if they do go to the second debate, okay, is Chris still gonna is he still gonna moderate it, or are they gonna have different moderators that we know of?
I'm not sure. I mean, that was actually the one thing that I think made this whole thing. It wasn't really a loss for Trump. Like, Trump didn't lose any of his base in this debate.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
He might have lost some of those people who were flip-flopping in the middle. And that was the main reason, was because of the moderator, not because of Joe Biden necessarily. So I don't know who's moderating next, but remember, Trump's got the best team, you know, coaching him on the best strategy to use, and I think that he will use this opportunity to learn everything he can from the first debate.
I found it, Sean. If anybody gets, which pretty much everybody gets, Twitter, gets a text from Trump, the Trump team, and I don't know. Did you get this yesterday? But anyway, okay. So yeah, this was yesterday's tweet from the Trump team. Breaking: Joe Biden is begging, in capital letters, for multiple breaks during the 90-minute debate. Check, and this is all capital letters, check Joe's ears with an exclamation point. Now, I thought they were referencing as, you know, because the whole thing between a human and a clone, it's like, you know, the ear is the giveaway. So that's what I thought that was. But there's more to it. It says, Joe Biden refuses, in all capital letters, to take a drug test and declines, all capital letters, to undergo inspection for electronic earpiece before the debate.
Right.
So what would happen if they do see that? So, for example, is there anything that Q's saying that they're going to push these issues again? Like, hey, you know, like if they get to a second debate.
I think they're actually let him have the advantages. That's how I think they're playing it. Trump never mentioned anything during the debate. Basically, Trump, the way I'm seeing it, and just is just my gut feeling, I don't really have any inside knowledge, is that, hey, let him have all the advantage he thinks he has. It's just going to make them feel comfortable. That's the art of war. The art of war is like, make your enemy feel confident when they shouldn't feel confident. And when they're feeling all overconfident, that's when they make mistakes. So yeah, give him the earpiece, give him the questions ahead of time, and then just keep attacking and attacking until he loses his cool and he just freaks out, or he loses his mind again, like he always does on TV. Mm-hmm.
You think his timing was just off in at that? You think he should have just let it? I know the moderator, obviously, you could tell he was obviously biased there. Mm-hmm. But do you think there was anything there that if Trump would have just let Biden kind of finish his thoughts, he would have just kept rambling on, and maybe he interjected too soon?
I thought about that too.
In a lot of these cases, or do you think
Joe off? Biden was had clarity. I didn't think he was going to ramble off. I think that these personal comments about his son and everything, it's actually a good strategy because it hurts Joe Biden's feelings, and it gets him emotional, and it gets him off his feeling.
He almost cracked on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and the American people do care if his son got $3.5 million from a Russian politician's wife.
It's not true. That's all he kept saying.
On repeating it's not true, but the Senate of the United States just discovered it. So it doesn't matter how many times you repeat it's not true, it doesn't make it not true. So I think there's going to be a follow-up in the next debate, and I don't think Trump is going to let off on these personal attacks.
No. And you know what? Maybe also his strategy was let him feel like what you were saying, confident, super confident this time around, because I will nail you to the friggin' wall the next time around. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because when you build up your confidence, you're like, I got this.
So what do you think about, has there been anything there? Because when they talked about the Green New Deal and then Trump walked him, Trump was able to walk in all of that shit, that Trump was able to back him into some corners and walk him into some things that he needed to, that he wanted him to say.
I liked how Trump said two times, you just lost the left.
You just lost the left. Yeah.
Because he forced Biden to say, you believe in law and order and law enforcement, and basically the far left doesn't want to hear anything about you saying you support law enforcement. And then I believe the second time was regarding the Green New Deal. Oh, you don't support the New Deal. You just lost the left.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. He did. You just lost the left. And then he's like, no, he's like, I'm the candidate. He's like, then he's like comparing to like, basically I beat Bernie. He got him to say, I beat Bernie. So I wonder what that internal
Yeah, he just alienated the far left contingent, and that's the most vocal group of the Democratic Party. And so those people don't like hearing Joe Biden say anything against Bernie, saying anything against the Green New Deal. So Joe Biden's playing towards the middle of the road. He's wants to get those, not too far left, not too right type of prospective voters. And Trump was really playing to his base once again, just trying to get people who are on the, people who are Republicans, just get them to vote. And I think he needs to play more to the middle the next time around.
If they give her next time around. Do you think Kamala Harris is going to start showing her face and actually be more proactive as far as a front person of this campaign now? Or do you think they're still going to let him?
Yeah, I mean, they both said Harris administration. So there's a reason why both Kamala Harris and Joe Biden accidentally, said that. And I think that it's a possibility still that they might declare Joe Biden, medically incapable, or he might get COVID-19. Who knows what excuse they might come up with, but it would certainly put Kamala Harris in the spotlight as a possible presidential candidate or being the vice president for another candidate. But it'll be interesting to see the debate between her and Mike Pence, because I can't think of people more different in their style and their demeanor. And
Mike Pence is pretty good though. He's good.
He's also super, super conservative.
Yeah.
So he's just speaking a different language compared to the ultra liberal.
When is that debate, Sean?
I think in
October 7th, I think.
October 7th.
So you when ask me these questions about schedule, I really don't know.
No, it's all right. I don't know. No worries. What time's the election? When do they pull the electoral? All right. So as we get closer into this now he was talking about the riots and things like that. They started getting there as far as having those conversations, and they talking about Antifa as an ideology. Where Trump was like, "No, you kidding me?" kind of thing like that. I think that most people right now are realizing that it is an official group, right? Even right or left, or people in the middle.
I think this is an important topic that I really don't know where the normal people stand on this, but it's going to become more and more apparent because, this is one of those Trump cards that Trump has up his sleeve, is the ability to unseal indictments against not only Antifa operatives, but their Democratic controllers, the people who are coordinating with them with an insurrection in our country. So at any time, these Democratic governors, these Democratic mayors, these Democratic district attorneys, they could be, it could be revealed that they are participating with Antifa operatives in an insurrection, in the organized riots, in arson attacks, all of these things. So maybe he's painting Joe Biden into a corner. Yeah, Joe Biden, just keep repeating. Antifa is an ideology, not an organization. Keep repeating that until you are proven 100% wrong and everyone remembers how wrong you were.
Do you think from a political side of things, do you think that this Trump's base, if you would, do you think a majority of Trump's base actually thought that Chris Wallace teed these things up for Joe Biden, or do you think that was just or do you think that was just maybe like some people got that perspective, if you would?
I think anyone watching the debate, it doesn't matter who you are, could see that Chris Wallace was acting like the teacher that was trying to punish bad little schoolboy Trump. And that comes off bad when you have a bias towards one candidate. And in fact, I remember there was one interaction where Chris Wallace said, well, it's really you, Trump, who's doing most of the interrupting and all the bad stuff. And then Trump was just like a schoolboy, but he did bad stuff too. He's like, yeah, but Biden interrupted too. So, you know, it comes off bad because Chris Wallace is supposed to be on the only conservative main news network, Fox News.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it just goes to show Fox News is compromised. There is no conservative news network in our country that's mainstream. And so,
that's, you know, so true.
Trump is going up against a stacked deck against him, but he's still not afraid, you know. And you know what comes to mind is the last debate against Hillary, where he was like sniffing real hard. I don't know if you remember that, but that's how I see Trump. Is he is in full attack mode, like a bulldog, just like a bulldog would sniff hard. He's like, I'm going after you, rah! You know? And so he is in this to ultimately destroy his opponent. And this was just his first opportunity, and it'll be really exciting to see what he has to say in the debate stage, but what type of bombshells are going to drop that implicate Joe Biden and his family and the previous administration. I mean, Hunter Biden could end up going to jail between now and the next debate because Senate asked for a criminal referral from the Department of Justice for this $3.5 million in Russian cash that Hunter Biden got. So the Senate is asking the Department of Justice to basically arrest Hunter Biden, and that could actually happen before the next debate. And then there would be no question about whether it was a lie or whether it wasn't a lie. He wouldn't be arrested if it was just a lie.
You think so? They're pushing for this arrest right now.
Yeah.
Wow. And
I mean, that's one of the October surprises that could be coming out.
All right. What other October surprise do we have other than Halloween?
There are just so many. I mean, I'll just look at the Q drop recently. This is one that already dropped, is that Hillary Clinton was trying to design what she called a swift boat project to try to act like Donald Trump and Russia were with each other. And so she concocted this plan, and she paid for the fake dossier, the Steele dossier that had all these lies about Russia and the Trump administration. And so she actually briefed the Obama administration on this stuff, and they were totally cool with this swift boat project. So it just came out that Hillary, Obama, Biden, they've all been cooking up this Russia collusion hoax from the very beginning. And so that was one of the bombshells that broke just yesterday. And so what could be coming up is some other really, really powerful things against the Clinton crime family, like crimes against humanity, just pure corruption. It was a pay-to-play scheme where the Clinton Foundation accepted millions in donations, and then they paid off all these lawyers like James Comey's brother and Rod Rosenstein's wife, and all. It's swamped creatures, and all their family members are getting money from the Clinton Foundation, and they're donating money to the Clinton Foundation. It's just like this cycle of corruption. Mm-hmm. And so this is the
swamp cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the October surprises, is the Wiener laptop that has all of her text messages and all of her emails and everything. And this could just be devastating for the Democratic Party.
Wiener laptop's got some serious, serious stuff in it. That's where the frazzle drip, the satanic
rituals.
Well, the one that was under life insurance on his laptop with Hillary Clinton and Uma Abedin, where they did the satanic ritual and the blood ritual and the adrenochrome on the little girl, and everything was recorded.
Yeah, so this is one of those things that Q hasn't told us exactly what's on that video, but he said that this video is impossible to defend.
Oy.
So if you can just imagine the worst of the worst, that's what's on this video, and it's probably one of many, and there are thousands of emails and communications that will probably show that the previous administration that, that Joe Biden was a part of was basically this corrupt machine that just sold out our country to the highest bidder. Mm-hmm. They were selling our state secrets. They were selling access to our special access programs. They were trying to purposefully weaken our military. They were, you know, giving away our hard-earned tax dollars through the US aid projects and everything. So there are just so many October surprises, and many of them involve Joe Biden and his son. And so it could be that his son actually gets a criminal referral. It's going to be really exciting October.
Do you think that with the voter ballots and the, you know, the controversy regarding the mail-in ballots, everything like that, do you think that's going to stall the actual final result on November 3rd and push back on that? Or do you think that they'll settle?
There are a couple different ways this could go. And the way I want it to go is that this is such a landslide election win for Donald Trump that there's no need to wait 10 additional days or whatever to count all the votes, because when you have 90% votes for Donald Trump,
doesn't matter.
You're not expecting with the number of votes that you already have in and the number of votes that you're still expecting, it doesn't matter if 100% of the expected votes come in Joe Biden, he still won't win. Then that's what I think is the best thing for our country, so that there's no controversy. Mm-hmm. But in the worst case scenario, hey, we've got a new Supreme Court justice is going and that's the court that will really decide, just like they did in the year 2000 with Gore versus Bush. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court is the one that really calls the shots when it comes to these controversies.
Sean, one last that's thing true. For you is, so if they've got a lot of the stuff documented, what Hillary Clinton did, they have a video there that, you know, it's undisputable about the crime on that one. Mm-hmm. We're this close to the election, and Trump is just bitching and moaning and really about the mail-in ballots. Why not drop these bombs now and just put this thing to bed once and for all and shut these things down and just, boom, let's coast through?
Right. This is something that many of us following Q have been saying for actually multiple years. Like, why don't you just arrest everyone now? But apparently that's not the best option. One of the reasons that the Q gave for not, you know, trying to go too aggressive too early is that when you drop a whole bunch of information on the public about a pedophile ring and crimes against children, that you cause actually mass suffering. Mm-hmm. And so they have a plan that involves slowly getting the public information about these crimes so that it's not some kind of big shock that really disturbs people. Because you could have massive like suicides and horrible type of response to these
backlash.
Types of crimes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah, so you've got, 4 million people on Facebook alone who are following QAnon groups. So that's one of the ways that they've been trying to prime the public and prepare the public for what's coming, is the QAnon operation. And so we've got millions of people who have this knowledge and are spreading it slowly but surely. And what they've done is they've done a military precision planning. And this involves what they call war gaming, where they come up with every single possible way this could go. And they think of ways to respond in every single possible scenario. And what they've decided is the best is to wait until October and post-election to really release most of this stuff. This is not something like Donald Trump's afraid of losing the election or he might not win. This is really not a worry.
Yeah.
Of course, he's still going to give it his – he's still going to show up to the debates.
He's still
going to go through the motions. But you have to remember that everything is riding on this election – and they will not leave it up to chance that this is going to go to the other side. And so I believe that even if Joe Biden somehow stole the election, that there would still be a military coup and the military would still take over the country. So if they would have waited till before the election, then they would always be accusing Trump of, oh, he's only doing this against his political opponents and everything. Yep. But if he waits until after the election to release most of this stuff, then they can never accuse him of that. So Yeah, I believe that this has been the smartest way to go about it, you know, because look at his approval rating for Republicans is over 90%, and his approval rating across the country is all-time high, 52%.
Yeah. Is there
which
any...
that's probably low.
Yeah, probably more than likely. But is there anything to the fact that if with Clintons and Obamas that were part of this, whatever against Swamp. Trump, if you would, and if they are if they do get indicted, are they as that executive level or the president part of it, at least maybe Bill Clinton, Obama, are they immune from prosecution at that point in time? So how far
as the Democrats down? Love to say, no one is above the law.
No one is above the law.
It doesn't matter if you were king of the world in the United States. The Constitution is the thing that trumps everything. And
would they be able to strip him of his presidency title?
I don't know, because this has never been done before. Mm-hmm. So we don't have any legal precedent. But what I do know is that the president of the United States has to follow the rules just like everybody else. And the fact that Biden and Obama are no longer in office, that just gives them even less legal power. Because I guess, you know, if you were president, you could try to say, well, I'm pardoning myself or something like that. But
trying to run a country, don't bother
me. Obama and Biden don't have any more authority anymore. They're just citizens, just like you and me. And I don't know how this is going to go down, whether it's going to be civil trial, civilian type of thing, or whether it's going to be a military type of tribunal. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, I'm feeling very confident.
You and me both. I'm not worried about it at all. But, they always, and especially Chris Wallace, all night last night, he kept referring to Biden as Mr. Vice President. He's not Mr. Vice President. He's former Vice President.
They still refer to him that way.
Right, I mean, that is the official. The official protocol is to always call former presidents and vice presidents.
You still got to call him that.
Still call them that. But
it's a protocol.
But when they asked Biden, they asked him, well, why didn't you talk to the mayors of Portland and tell them to call in the National Guard? He said, well, I'm not the vice president anymore.
Step up and do the right thing kind of thing? He's like, I don't have a job, so I don't need to do it.
Yeah, that looked bad on Biden.
That did. Yes. That did. So I think it'll be good. I think they'll definitely, but like you said, I hope that's what it is. It's Trump's still to lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, even if he does lose, we have the military who are going to do whatever it takes to safeguard our country. Because literally, if Joe Biden would win and we transferred power to Joe Biden, we would see COVID-19 times 1,000. They would just do another one of these things, force us all to stay in our homes, try to force vaccinate us. It would be a nightmare. It would be hell on earth. And so,
and that's exactly what his message was last night. I mean,
it was weird because Joe Biden kept on saying, you shut down the country and I want to open up the country, but none of his policies.
No. Right. But nothing can happen until we get our head wrapped around the COVID-19. So we can't open the country until we do that. It's like,
and how about the funniest anything when Trump's like, and you wear the biggest mask I've ever seen.
I know that was funny.
You know, that was played very well by Trump, because if Trump comes out and says no masks don't work, well then all of a sudden Joe Biden seems like he's the one who's so scientific and so strong, and so Trump was like, yeah, I wear masks, social distance, and you don't need to wear one.
I got one right here in my pocket.
Yeah,
I got one in my pocket. So you know, it's true that Joe Biden has a bad record with the swine flu. It's true that Joe Biden said we shouldn't close off the border with China early on. So with all the, I don't know why Joe Biden thinks he's got the best plan in the world when he's really been through all this before. And something Trump said over and over again, you were in power for 47 years. Why didn't you do it back then?
Yeah,
you should just run on that gravy train alone.
Yeah, yeah. I did in 47 months what you didn't do in 47 years. Yeah. You know?
Right. You should just keep hammering that over and over and over.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, Sean, you know, you've been putting out some stuff, and I wanted to get your views on it, because there's a lot of conversations going around about JFK Jr. being around, and you had something that you posted around that. I'd like to get your version or views on that.
Sure. You know, my program and my style is pretty journalistic, so I like to stick to the facts and everything, but I'm not afraid to just make some theories, make some guesses, and just be honest about the fact that they are just theories and guesses. I'll just tell you what QAnon has said himself. So Q has said that the beginning of the Q operation was a friendship between Donald Trump and JFK Jr., that was the beginning of the Q operation. So that's very interesting and makes you really wonder, what role did JFK Jr. play in this whole plan to save our republic back in the 90s? So I don't know for sure, but if you look back at his magazine, George, what he was trying to accomplish, he was trying to, you know, basically bring politics to the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And he was planning on running against Hillary Clinton in New York as a senator. And so many people are thinking, hey, maybe the Clinton crime family put out a hit against JFK Jr. because they don't want to run against Kennedy. He's the most handsome, charismatic Kennedy ever. Mm-hmm. And there's no way Hillary would win against him. So they just wanted him gone. And so there's been this theory out there that maybe he staged his death and that mm-hmm. he chose to disappear and play a role behind the scenes this entire time. Now, anons have asked Q, is JFK Jr. still alive? And Q said, no, he's not still alive. So that's the official answer from Q. But you have to remember.
But didn't he, Sean, say, he said that JFK was not alive, not JFK Jr.?
No, I think someone asked, is JFK Jr. still alive? And then Q just said, no. So that's what I think it was. So, but you have to remember, Q is very mysterious. Q doesn't always give you exact dates or exact ideas, you know, and sometimes you have to give misinformation. It's necessary because who's reading the Q posts? It's not just people like you and me. It's the enemy. The enemy is reading the Q posts and getting information from it. So if Q gave the enemy lots of valuable information, it would be dangerous. So Q actually has to and is required to give the enemy misinformation through these things. So that's something to keep in mind with the Q posts, is it's not just all 100% fact 100% of the time. So many people are wondering, is JFK Jr. still alive? Are there any clues to this? Well, his grave site is in the shape of a Q.
It is.
That's interesting.
That is
So after he supposedly died, there was a someone from the Coast Guard who came on the news on the telephone, and he had the exact same voice as JFK Jr. The person who makes the Plan to Save the World QAnon video, it's the most watched, millions of views on the QAnon topic. Mm-hmm. His name is Joe M. We all know that's an alias. It's not a real name, Joe M. Mm-hmm. And he has the exact same voice as JFK Jr. So there's this guy who calls in to conservative radio shows and claims to be an insider. And he has the same voice as JFK Jr. So this voice just keeps on popping up. And so it does make you wonder, is JFK Jr. playing a role behind the scenes in this entire thing?
Are they able to use one of those, you know, like the meters or whatever to track the voice patterns to verify?
No, I've never seen an official voice analysis mm-hmm. on this, but I have to say, just with my own ear, it's mm-hmm. unmistakable.
Really?
It's an amazing similarity. And then there have been pictures of not only supposedly a JFK, but also his wife and his family members in the crowds at Trump rallies, people who are supposedly dead. And if you look at them right behind the president, they seem to be still alive. So I don't have any facts. I don't have anything to really rely on to show 100% beyond the shadow of a doubt that JFK Jr. and his wife and his sister-in-law are actually still alive. But it's something that I'm keeping open in my mind. I'm open-minded to that possibility. And it would be really interesting because one thing that Q has said is just wait until you find out who's been talking to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. So what that says to me is that Q is someone famous.
Yeah.
Q is someone we all know. Mm-hmm. So it could be
Michael Jackson.
It could be someone who's not JFK Jr. that we all know.
Could be Elvis Presley for all we know. I mean, seriously.
Maybe not Elvis.
Could be.
Well, they say Elvis is a pastor somewhere, and I don't know. It needs some sort of Pastor Bob or something like that.
JFK Jr. has the knowledge, mm-hmm. he has the abilities, yeah. he has the incentive and the motive to do all of these things.
Yeah.
He wants
really
to avenge mm-hmm. his father's death. And mm-hmm. who was implicated? The Bush crime family was implicated in the death of his father. So he's been going against this deep state for a long time, and it literally would not surprise me if it turned out that JFK Jr. was alive and that he was a part of Q team.
Amazing times ahead, everybody.
He took the words right out of my mouth.
Wow, just wow. What a mystical, magical world we live in. And spiritually
awesome.
Raw.
Yes, yeah. It is so exciting.
All right, everybody. That Anything is else? Sean Morgan with our buddy Two Corner Spiritually Raw's hair version of a political commentary. So thank you, Sean, for helping us through that one.
You're welcome.
It's always good to see you there. And then we'll have Sean, again, you can check out QAnon for Beginners at QAnonFAQ.com, and also we'll have links for Sean's YouTube channel. So I really suggest that if you are checking Sean out for the first time, definitely check it out, because he's got some great content out there you'll most certainly enjoy. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it on our end. We enjoyed it on our end. Hope you enjoyed it on your end.
thank you, Sean, so much. It's always great seeing you. And together we will turn the universal key to global harmony and create a unified world. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.